بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Just to look at a few verses of the Quran Kareem initially, inshallah, for about 5 minutes, and thereafter do some kind of karguzari or report back on the recent trip that Allah Ta'ala blessed us the opportunity to undertake for the cause of deen in the lessons before Ramadan within the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah Ta'ala, in enumerating the favors upon the Bani Israel, upon the Yahud, speaks about the reaction to these favors, which in most instances, in the case of the majority of individuals, was ingratitude, and they claim that they are the special and the favored ones of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala challenges them that if you feel that you are the special ones, and as you claim that all the favors of the Akhirah are reserved for you only, then a very clear-cut challenge from Allah Ta'ala, then have a desire, express a desire, make dua that death comes to you quickly, so that you may go on to enjoy those favors. While extending this challenge, Allah Ta'ala emphatically says, the response to this challenge will undoubtedly be that never will they ever express a desire for death and the life after death, because they full well know, they claim that they are the favored and the special ones of Allah, and that the Akhirah is reserved for them only, is a baseless and a falseless claim. They know their actions, they aspiring to achieve every good in this dunya only, belie their verbal claim. And Allah Ta'ala says, for this reason, never will they ever express a desire for death. On the other hand, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, furthermore, وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاهِ. Let alone expressing a desire for death, you will find them amongst human beings the most greedy and the most desirous of a lengthy life in this world, even more so than the mushrikeen, than the polytheists. Now polytheists, mushrikeen, those who ascribe partners to Allah Ta'ala, do not entertain any hopes about the Akhirah, because they do not believe in the life after death. They think that this dunya is the be it and the end all of this life. Express and fulfill every desire that you want in this world, because this is the end of it. So it is understandable in the case of mushrikeen that they would have a fear and apprehension about death and the stages after death. But Allah Ta'ala says regarding the Yahud, the general majority of them, that you will find them being the most greedy and having the greatest desire for a lengthy life. يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. Allah Ta'ala says that any one of them will desire that if he were given an opportunity, he would wish to live for 1,000 years. If given the chance, he would wish for a lifespan of 1,000 years. وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَنْ يُعَمَّرُ. And Allah Ta'ala says that even if they are granted this desire, a lifespan of 1,000 years and more than that, this will not dispel and repel from them, this long lifespan still will not repel from them the adab, the punishment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala says, remember that Allah is forever watching and fully knowledgeable of all that they do. The next two verses were revealed under special circumstances. First, the translation where Allah Ta'ala says, say to them, man kana aduwan li Jibreel, he who is an enemy to the great angel Jibreel alayhi salam, remember that Jibreel alayhi salam descends with this Quran upon your heart, the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with the will and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that which he brings as wahi and revelation verifies what has been revealed in the previous scriptures, that the core message of every revelation essentially is the same. They may have differed in injunctions, and this Quran is a hidayat, it is a guidance, it is a giver of glad tidings for the believers. Now when were these verses revealed? The Yahud came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and posed the question that we know historically whenever Allah had sent wahi and revelation to his messengers, then he would do it via the agency of his malaika, of his angels. So do tell us, who is the angel who brings wahi and revelation to you? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he is none other than Jibreel alayhi salam, the most senior, the most superior of all the angels. The angels, their number is known to Allah alone. They have various tasks and responsibility. They are not inclined towards sin. They are made of nur and light. The four main angels, Jibreel alayhi salam, whose primary task was to bring wahi and revelation. to come and assist the believers in the face of great difficulties. And then there is Mikail alayhi salam, whom Allah has deputed to be in charge of the rains. And on that point, let us make fervent dua for Allah Ta'ala to send down upon us beneficial rains. Let us resort to istighfar and tawbah for our sins. For many a times, those are the barrier of beneficial rains coming down to a nation. So Mikail alayhi salam, deputed to be in charge of conveying rizq and sustenance to the creation of Allah Ta'ala, is therefore in charge of the clouds and the rain and conveying of rizq and sustenance. And then there is Israfil alayhi salam, whose duty it will be to blow into the trumpet on two occasions, and according to some commentators, three occasions, to signal the time just before Qiyamah, to signal the end of this world, the dissipation of this world and all that exists in it, except whom Allah Ta'ala wishes to keep safe and sound. And then a blowing for a third time to bring everyone and everything back to life for the Day of Judgment. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Israfil alayhi salam has already placed the trumpet into his mouth and has extended his ear, listening attentively as to when the command of Allah comes to blow into the trumpet to signify the Day of Judgment. And then there is Israel alayhi salam, known as Malakul Maut, the angel of death. A common error is that we say Malikul Maut. Malik in Arabic means king, and Malak means an angel. So therefore, Malakul Maut is correct, meaning the angel of death. So they inquired that who is the angel who brings this wahi to you? He replied, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it is Jibreel alayhi salam. Subhanallah, the Yahud's response really perplexes a person. They say that if this is the case, we will not accept this wahi and revelation, for historically he has brought to our prophets many a command that was difficult to practice, the command of jihad, etc. So he brings difficulties and problems and worrying situations upon us. So therefore, we will not accept this wahi for the fact that Jibreel alayhi salam brings it to you. They displayed open enmity to the great angel, the most superior of all the angels. And they said further that if it was that Mikail, the one who brings sustenance to the creation of Allah, if he were the intermediary conveying the message of Allah to you, then we would have accepted your word. So in response to this, Allah Ta'ala revealed the verses, say that the one who is an enemy to Jibreel alayhi salam, it is Jibreel who has conveyed the message of Allah upon your heart, and not on his own accord, that is with the will of Allah Ta'ala, such a message that this Quran verifies what has been revealed in all the previous scriptures, such a message that is hidayat and guidance and glad tidings for the believers. And further Allah Ta'ala says, man kana aduwwan lillahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa jibril wa mikal, the one who is an enemy to Allah, to the angels, to all the angels of Allah, to Allah's messengers, to Jibril and to Mikail. Enmity to one is an enmity to all of them. A proclamation of hatred to one of them is tantamount to proclaiming the same for Allah, for his messengers, and to all his angels. Then remember, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an enemy to the deniers and the disbelievers. That those who deny Jibreel alayhi salam, by extension, is denying all the previous angels and all the messengers of Allah ta'ala, and therefore is bringing upon himself the enmity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah is an enemy to a person, then it manifests itself in Allah's adab. It manifests itself in various traces and various opportunities in that person's life. Now, going on to the second part of our discussion today, very pertinent is that we focus on this ayah, where Allah Ta'ala has said that the inherent sign in the Yahud is that they have a great desire for a long lifespan, even more so than the polytheists, the mushrikeen. And one of them will wish that if he were given the chance to live 1,000 years, a mu'min on the other hand is he or she who realizes the purpose of our creation, the objective of why Allah Ta'ala has made us and put us onto this earth as his vicegerents, essentially to obey the command of Allah Ta'ala in the very short lifespan Allah has given us, to go on to achieve the ultimate and the greatest form of success in the form of Allah's happiness, Allah's forgiveness, and the eternal abode of Jannah. And this is primarily the objective of our creation and why we have been put here. So alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, during the month of Ramadan, from our community, many people had been blessed the opportunity by Allah Ta'ala to strive out in the path of Allah in different ways and mannerisms. Some of the brothers had gone out in the path of Allah Ta'ala for a period of 4 months. Some had the opportunity of performing an itikaf in Masjid al-Aqsa, some in the Masjid al-Nabawi of Madinah Munawwara sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah had blessed us the opportunity in the month of Ramadan, my wife and I the opportunity to go out for the purposes of Taraweeh and conducting various talks and programs. Essentially the invitation was from the city of Hamilton and one of the adjacent areas of Toronto, a big masjid known as the Markham Masjid. Most of the time was spent in the Hamilton Masjid Umar. A week within the month of Ramadan we had spent in the Markham area, wherein there is a huge masjid where on Jummah Salah alone more than 2,000 people perform Salah in the masjid. And that even is not enough, there is a need for a second Jummah to be performed in that masjid. We had also, after having completed the Khatam of the Quran in Hamilton, gone on to the French-speaking province of Quebec, to the city of Montreal, to conduct a few programs for one day and one night. And thereafter we flew off to the western coast of Canada, to Vancouver, and then onwards, and hours away to a town called Prince George. Now, as said, the main purpose was for the performance of Taraweeh Salah, and together with that, the opportunity to conduct various programs, the programs of Hadith, for example, after Fajr Salah, a 5-minute talk after the Dhuhr Salah, and thereafter a Tafsir program after Asr Salah, as well as a Tafsir program to be conducted after the Taraweeh Salah. This tells you the great opportunity that Allah has given to us. One of the brothers remarked there that you are soft, so they're extracting all the juice out of you while you are here. But really, on a positive note, this is, I think, indicative of the great passion and desire and love that they have for deen. Canada, as we know, is the second largest country in the world. It has a very small population, 33 million, which is actually 20 million less than the population of South Africa, a country whom Allah has blessed with great natural beauty, that is the Niagara Falls, the western part of Canada, the Rocky Mountains, the various lakes, the ice lands, as well as glaciers. And in all of these, whenever we do travel to visit any of these places, a lesson is that we do so with the intention of recognizing the qudrah, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah in his personal being is well beyond the recognition of our fallible minds. So therefore try and recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via the means of his creation. We look at all the creation time and again. We are implored in the Quran to look at the creation of the skies, the earth, the stars, the oceans. Within our own magnificent creation, within the human body, the anatomy of a human body, to ponder and to reflect and recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in most of these masajid, there is a very diverse Muslim population originating from various countries. Most of the Muslims, they are either first or second generation Muslims who have moved there within the last 30, 40 years. However, there is one masjid that is more than 100 years old in the city of Edmonton that was established by some brothers from Egypt about a century ago. But the majority of the Muslim population, they are a resident at the most 30 to 40 years. As said, from various cultural backgrounds, in the masajid that we were, there were many brothers from Arab countries, from Palestine, from Jordan, Syria, Yemen, from East Africa, as well as many brothers from Pakistan and certain different parts of India. Now, some of the important lessons that we have acquired by being there, by being blessed with this opportunity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to serve his deen, and we make dua that Allah ta'ala accepts it and forgives our shortcomings. There are too many shortcomings to make mention of. First and foremost, and most important lesson is, let us be appreciative of this great ni'mah of Iman and Islam that Allah has blessed us with. A great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We realize it every day in our daily lives, I'm sure, especially when we come across, as the Arabic saying goes, a thing is fully recognized its value when you see the opposite of it. In the beautiful and perfect teachings of Islam, there is only happiness and salvation and contentment of the heart. So let us never rest assured that Iman is guaranteed or Islam is guaranteed for all times to come. We mention this without finding fault in any individual, but merely as to convey the important message. We had come across numerous individuals who have been there for 30, 40 years ago, who had come there themselves at their own admission, not very strong practicing Muslims, and the environment itself was not conducive to Islam. The city of Toronto itself, mashallah, has a very, very good Islamic environment. There definitely has been a revival there for the last 15 to 20 years. Many masajid have been built. Certain communities have taken the great step of building maktab madrasa for their children, and this indeed is a great light for the Muslim communities there. The ulama of Toronto in recent years have gotten together to form some semblance of a jamiatul ulama to oversee many of these affairs. However, these are very, very recent developments. So as said, on the admission of many individuals who had come across, who had grown up in good Muslim homes, one person remarked that for 40 years he has not made a single sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In discussions with that person, I would say it was a great pleasure to merely him making the statement, it is through the grace of Allah that we have met, and hopefully Allah makes us meet a next time. You know, even that statement gives a person great hope that at least that spark of iman is still intact within the heart. But on a broader sense, can we imagine the situation of many, many others? There are many who have not seen the inside of a masjid for 40 years of living, especially in the outlying areas away from the city of Toronto and the other major centers. So let us value and appreciate this iman. The wife used to also conduct lessons on a daily basis, tafsir lessons for the ladies. Alhamdulillah, the reception there was also very, very positive. In the Markham Masjid, there would be between 70 to 80 ladies participating on a daily basis. The masajid in the program for the men also, alhamdulillah, was very well attended, and people were highly, highly appreciative. There is a great thirst, a great desire to learn the knowledge of deen. It was noticed that as one goes away from the major centers, many, many towns and cities away from Toronto, there would be huge masjids without a single appointed imam, without a madrasa for children. Now, this is also something that we, alhamdulillah, have been blessed as a special gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of the abundance of it, let us not become negligent of the greatness of this favor. You know, the infrastructure of deen that we have established in our country, through the grace of Allah and through the efforts of our forefathers, the first Muslims who had come to this country, may Allah reward them abundantly. The foresight that they had is really amazing. One really appreciates their foresight when one travels to other places where such amenities, such infrastructure of deen is not found. Now, a simple thing like a maktab madrasa, if one thinks about it, you know, a child after school goes there on a daily basis for 2 hours between the age of 6 and 16. Can we imagine what a great effort this is putting towards a person's, a child's iman being saved, being reared and nurtured, even if it is for a period of just 2 hours on a daily basis? In the bigger picture of things, this was really appreciated when we had the opportunity many years ago to travel also in the month of Ramadan to South America, to Chile, to Santiago, where many, many brothers from various Arab countries had come there only 100 years ago. But to put things into perspective, they had come 100 years ago. Unfortunately, the first Muslims who had arrived there did not establish any of those structures, had married into the local population, were not cognizant of the halal and haram consumption. The result is that the first generation of children were already growing up in homes where mothers were non-Muslims. When we had gotten there, they were looking at third and fourth generation of youngsters. While walking the streets with these clothing, many, many people would approach us. One thing about South Americans is that they are very soft and humble in nature. They would always come and inquire about this. Many of them would like to know more about Islam because this clothing seemed peculiar to them. But many a youngster who would come and ask us about this clothing, and we would reply that this is Islamic clothing, he would respond and say that, I think my grandfather used to dress like you. What is your name? He would have a Christian name, Juan or Carlos or Pedro, but the surname would be an Arab surname, Al-Amin Al-Farooq. Third generation out of the fold of Islam. And to put things into perspective, only 90 years after their arrival in Chile itself, I'm talking, only after 90 years of existence was the first masjid established. And that too with the recent efforts of the Jamaat work, the South African Jamaats who have gone there to various parts of South America, have done fantastic work. Many, many individuals had come up to us and said that we are thankful to the efforts and sacrifices of your Jamaat, specifically taking the name of our late Amir Haji Baipadia, that had it not been for him, I don't think me or my children would have even remained Muslim. Many would say that he was the first Muslim, practical Muslim we had met in 20 or 30 years of living in this country. So we appreciate the various infrastructures of deen that we have, our beautiful masajid, our madrasas for children, the halal haram certification bodies, how important this is. Unfortunately, I said that in many masajid there are no officially appointed ulama or imams, with the result that anybody who is present leads the salah, and people would make pronouncements and give opinions on deen that really amazes the mind. There was a common perception amongst the youth whom we used to sit with every day in Hamilton that a person may buy meat from any place where the outlet would not even claim it to be halal, merely read Bismillah before eating that meat, and on account of that it becomes halal. Now this was an entrenched understanding that they had. The brothers who would give such opinions themselves would say, we regret having made such pronouncements, for we're seeing the ill effects, the spiritual ill effects within our own children. Those children who had been nurtured in eating such meat for the last 15 to 20 years have become extremely rebellious. Another problem being faced there is the general environment. Many a parent would say that when we would try to encourage our son or our daughter to become better Muslims, then their response would be that this is a free country, allow us to lead our lives and conduct ourselves as we wish and desire. The wife had come across an entire family where the mother was actually weeping and shedding tears, saying that two of her daughters who had been reared in a generally good Muslim home, na'udhu billah, have openly left the fold of Islam and proclaimed that we are definitely no longer Muslims. Wal'ayadu billahi min dhalik. Another very important lesson on a personal basis is the warmth and the reception that was extended really touches the heart. The thirst and the desire that people have for knowledge and for anybody who can come and impart some knowledge of deen to them was really amazing. This teaches us a lesson, the great quality of dayafa, of mehman nawazi, of hospitality to visitors who come to us from within our own country, from outside countries. And this is a quality of iman, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyukrim dayfa. Whomsoever believes in Allah and in the last day should see to it that the Islamic quality is to try and treat one's guest as best as possible. So these are some of the very, very important lessons, first and foremost, to value and appreciate this iman and never rest assured that this is a given gift and naturally would remain with me forever. There has to be an effort made to protect, to value, and to make every effort that this iman is salvaged. We would sometimes think, why do people say when they stand up to give talks that sacrifice some time to go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala? Because this effort and sacrifice in the cause of iman ensures the protection of our iman, the iman within our family environment. One really understands this when one goes out to such areas. Secondly, to value and appreciate the efforts of our forefathers, whether it is the first Muslims who had come 350 years ago to the Cape from Indonesia, when they were threatened with their lives for practicing upon Islam. Islam was officially banned. Some of the great ulama, Tuanguru Qadi Abdus Salam, Sheikh Yusuf, with the threat of their lives, continued to teach Islam even in secrecy so that it exists in its original form. Whether it is our elders who had come from the Indo-Pak subcontinent about 150 years ago, the foresight that they had, and the efforts of the senior ulama at the time of going to the various towns and cities of these countries to establish the masajid and the madrasa system and the various organizations that oversee various Muslim affairs. It was really, heartwarming to see the desire, the knowledge, the enthusiasm that many of the youth had there. In two of the masajid, they had conducted youth programs on a Saturday night in Ramadan. Subhanallah, between 300 to 400 youth had spent the entire night in the masjid learning more about the deen of Islam, engaging in various forms of ibadat. 300 to 400 youth in one masjid during the month of Ramadan tells you the love and desire that they have for deen. Also, one of the brothers from our community, Dr. Jameel Akhtar, who had moved there about a year and a half ago, who was a musalli in our masjid from Victory Park. We had visited him towards the end of Ramadan, as said, in the western part of Canada. He lives in a small town called Prince George. Once again, the same difficulty. The masjid is being built, however, there is no alim, no imam, no madrasa facilities for the children. A message from him and his family, and especially his sons, had conveyed to the youth of our community, is to value and appreciate the opportunity you have. Something as simple as having the opportunity to come to the masjid to have a madrasa adjacent to it, or a hifz class taking place within the masjid. You know, his wife had remarked that something as simple as, you know, in Canada, the Canadian government takes full care of its citizens. There is free health system, there is free schooling. So one would not really see apparent signs of poverty. So she remarked, even the opportunity that we have here, that one is given the opportunity of taking sadaqah and some food or some money and giving it with one own hand to the poor, is something one would relish when one does not have it any longer. However, Dr. Sabit personally asked me to convey his special salams to the entire community and to request the du'as. MashaAllah, he says a positive move for him is that when being in an environment when he is challenged has made him become stronger than he was previously. So one can take a positive out of every situation. You know, a lesson that he had conveyed to the community, they are doing the building of the masjid. On Eid morning we had the opportunity to give the talk in that masjid. And one of the strategies that we had adopted while building the masjid, Abdul Razak, etc., would remember, is the musalli space. You know, calculating the cost of a single musalli in the masjid, carpet, lights, etc., put together, which they estimated to be $1,500. And alhamdulillah, on the Eid morning itself, within the Eid bayan, a very small community between 150 to 200 musallis only, they were able to raise $40,000 Canadian in one gathering of the Eid Salah with this strategy. So value, let us appreciate, let us not take for granted. One of the means of shukr and gratitude to Allah Ta'ala for His favors is to use it to the maximum capability and ability. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, accept from us, and overlook our shortcomings, inshallah. Is there any questions anybody has? The Muslim population percentage, Toronto itself, out of a population of 3.5 million, there are 500,000 Muslims, 500,000, half a million Muslims. In Canada itself, varying figures were given that ranges between 5 to 10% of the population being Muslim. Is there any other questions?
The Jamaat work.
Jamaat work has contributed tremendously, mashallah, especially in Toronto, Vancouver, in Hamilton itself. All the cities, there is Jamaat work taking place. Some brothers have been in the effort for 30 to 40 years and are renowned for the great sacrifice and qurbani that they have given. You know, we came across a brother in the city of Montreal. It's a French-speaking city, you know, who earns a very meager living merely to survive by, and spends the rest of his time and his efforts, and his wife is actually a revert, is from Scottish background, has become Muslim. Amazing to see the sacrifice he and his family have given under such challenging circumstances. So mashallah, the Jamaat work is there, the effects are taking place. However, as everywhere else, you know, there needs to be more of an effort made, and the effects will be felt, inshallah. Not as many as in the USA. Not as many as in the USA, but we had come across some. Just on that point, on one of the domestic flights, interestingly, one of the people sitting next to me was an American whose profession is to train US police as far as law, weapons, handling, etc. A very good discussion, and you know, we saw eye to eye on many, many points. One thing that was amazing is that he said to me that he and many people who think like him do not keep a TV at home. So I found this amazing and asked him the reason. You know, he says, why should I be made to think how they want me to think? You know, I've got to think freely as an intelligent, intellectual human being. And he says he's found the effects of TV on his children is that they are made to think in a certain manner. So that was quite amazing. May Allah for his hidayat. He did express quite a strong inclination towards Islam. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, mashallah, very interesting question, I forgot. As said, you know, in areas where there's no structures, unfortunately the situation is worrying. You'd find many, many people of this understanding, you know, just eat from where you want, read Bismillah, and it becomes halal. However, a group of ulama in Toronto have gotten together and have formed a halal certification. So in Toronto, if anybody wants halal meat, there are many halal Muslim butchers where one will find halal meat. However, in the outlying areas also, positively, mashallah, we found many individuals who are so cautious in this regard, that they would actually go to the farms and slaughter meat themselves and only eat of that meat. It's not easy, but mashallah, it was really a positive note to see that. Mashallah. Okay, there are a few. In fact, one of the first Qabristans purchased was by communities of Muslims from South Africa who had gone there. They were about the first to have this worry and concern of having a designated Muslim Qabristan. In most instances, it would be similar to what we have in West Park, not a completely separate Muslim only. It would be a complete section given to Muslims which qualifies as okay. However, in the case of janazas, the rules there, there are many students who had studied in South African madrasas, Darul Uloom Zakaria, Azadville, Durban, who have gone back, and from England, who are doing good work there, mashallah. So one of the students who had qualified for Madrasa Zakaria is actually in charge of the burial in Toronto. There are only two masjids that cater for the facility. Laws there are such that wherever the person passes away, at home or in hospital, if needs be for a post-mortem, after that, when the body is given to the Muslims, they would take it to the masjid where the facility is there for ghusl. But different there is that the body cannot be taken home. So after ghusl, two masjids in Toronto have a facility for freezing or, a cold room. The body is kept there. And, some they're not allowed to bury in weekends or at night. So sometimes the body would stay in there for the whole of Saturday and Sunday. And only Monday, when the body would be allowed to be buried, a couple hours before burial, it's taken and put into a hall in the basement of the masjid. The family members, etc., can come there to, recite Quran and make dua, etc., prior to it being taken for the Salatul Janazah. And then in the Qabristan they have, they are not allowed to have any hams. So one would find all the qabars, they were completely, ground level. The difficulty is there is as you walk in the Qabristan, you would probably be walking over many, many qabars. And mashallah, the efforts are commendable of those who have made an effort to try and establish, these structures there. Now, the government and the Canadian people are very respectful of Muslims, generally. The Islamophobia, I think, that's found further south is not really found there. In fact, on personal experiences, when we've traveled domestically, internally, at every airport, at least half an hour before boarding, the women hostesses would come to my wife, she's in Partha, and ask her that we don't want to make it difficult for you at boarding time to ask you to open your face in front of everybody. So if you can identify your face to me as a female an hour before boarding, we don't want you to feel awkward and difficult. So, mashallah, that was very positive. I think, this case for case. It depends, I think, on the intention. If, one goes there with the intention of maybe establishing, contributing some way towards the dini effort. But, the challenges, the dangers are many. Many, many people remark that when we came here, we lost our children. So it's if one has the ability to control the environment within the home, notwithstanding what's happening in the environment outside, it's challenging, but, like in the case of Dr. Jamil, he remarked that, being in a threatened environment has made him a bit stronger, but, he says still, one is wary at all times, especially about one's children. So, it's I think, a case for case. Depends on the intention. No, alhamdulillah, no way. No difficulties anyway. That was, the anniversary was, and it's all over the media. You might just feel walking around that time in an Islamic garb. Somehow personally you felt a bit, we were traveling in those days, but we didn't come across anything negative. Though it's all over the media, and people there do remark that there is a definite, effort from the media to just hype up feelings and tensions. But we didn't come across anything in practicality. Canada is a very diverse country as far as population makeup. There are people from all over the world there, big Chinese population. Obviously, the they call them First Nations, the Inuits, you know, what we commonly grew up hearing, the Red Indians. It's a derogative word that they would rather prefer being called the First Nation or Inuits. You know, they have, mashallah, beautiful qualities, those people. And then obviously, you know, the French and the British, who had been there for quite a while, and recent immigrants from China, especially in the last 20, 30 years. Some big communities of Sikhs from India who had come about 100 years ago, especially in Vancouver. And then recently, in the last 20 to 30 years, there's been a huge influx from all over the world. And you would, you know, it's manifested all over in public life. You would see the diversity. You know, if you go to immigration and we landed, if there were about 12 to 13 counters, I think racially you could break it down to about five or six different backgrounds. Chinese, Indian, you know, British, different.
And our Muslim community here together?
In Toronto, that's starting to happen, you know, where people are, especially in those who originate from certain parts of India, they've, you know, kind of, if you walk outside those masajid, you might think you're in India or Pakistan. But in the more, you know, the outskirts of Toronto, and especially in the outer areas, you know, they live quite far off from the masjid. And not, you know, around the masjid, you generally see Muslims starting to take up residence. More so in Toronto, not so much in other places. And they, you know, mashallah, their desire and enthusiasm is very strong. But I think, mashallah, the muhabbat that the community here shows is stronger, mashallah. Oh yes, the fasting, mashallah. Well, we used to start, one thing is that the time movement is very, very strong. Like, you know, it's almost 2 minutes a day. 2 minutes and 1 minute. It's Sahri time as well as iftar. Now, it was summer going towards winter, so the fasts were getting shorter every day. It started out, I think, Sahri ending at about 4:30, and the longest rozas were the first few. And iftar was about 8:45. You know, to tell you about the enthusiasm of the people and the love they have for learning, we used to end Taraweeh at 11:30 at night, and they, you know, they requested to have a program after that. You know, it was stuff on us also. But mashallah, almost the whole masjid would sit on for that. Same as, yeah, it's around, I think, 8 to 4.
Was the masjid full?
Mashallah, like I said, in, you know, Hamilton in Ramadan, quite full. Immediately after Ramadan, there was a clear drop-off. The one in Toronto, like I said, it's a huge masjid. What they do in that masjid is they would call three outside ulama to spend 10 days. That's why I had to go there for the middle 10 days. Actually, they cut it down. The Hamilton people insisted to make it just a week. So that masjid for Taraweeh, you know, probably a little bigger than our masjid and courtyard put together for Taraweeh would be full. The problem, like after Fajr, you know, if the masjid was as full as this and the courtyard, you know, in the lesson after Fajr, you would get maybe more than 2/3 of the 80% of the people sitting for the program. So masajid, mashallah, Toronto itself is known to be the strongest city as far as Islam is concerned in the whole of North America, US and Canada put together. And then, like I say, you know, it's the efforts of the Jamaat work, obviously, in the very early and difficult days. The local ulama, some of them doing fantastic work. And, you know, outside visiting ulama, you know, we hear of people like Mullah Suleiman Mullah going every year. Similarly, they call ulama from England, from various Arab countries, from India and Pakistan. You know, that has definitely left traces of good, mashallah. That's it. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين So one very important point I think I failed to mention is, you know, the importance of the Muslim Brotherhood. They were very appreciative, as said, you know, for the fact that as a Muslim you have come to visit us for no other reason except our deen. And, you know, lots of emphasis on the unity of the Ummah, you know, because it's a diverse communities from different backgrounds, you know, there would be obviously differences of opinion, but in the bigger picture to try and maintain the muhabbat without compromising the boundaries of Shariat, very, very important and a great tool for the Muslim Ummah that we are in dire need of at this moment. Subhanakallah, wa shalom, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.